Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Dad.
So you're ready to pump it up today? Always, right? Nice. I can feel the enthusiasm. It has been a recurring theme of ours that, to maximize your health span, you need to include some resistance training, also known as strength training. So while aerobic exercise, which includes everything from just walking to jogging, biking, et cetera, is also very important. Both we I think agree are needed to get the best results. And this is particularly backed by the science. Recent study that we came across in the British Journal of Sports Medicine just last month or so. So we'll talk about that study, but so you've also obviously all been for a long time into running and biking. You love your Peloton, but have you now embraced strength training?
Yes, so I've been historically just a cardio person, because mostly for a few reasons. One, I don't have a ton of time, so I feel like trying to be like super efficient, and the feeling of, exercise, and the benefits that I feel from it always obviously came from, an intense kind of cardio workout. So get in, get something done, and get out, move on with your day. So fitting in weights was never really a huge priority. And then I also didn't know, like, I didn't, so you have to have the equipment. And I wasn't someone who was going to the gym and using like the weight stuff at the gym and didn't have stuff at home. And honestly, it was like exercise only felt like exercise if I was huffing and puffing. And I still do cardio pretty much every day. But part of the reason why I did strength training, in addition to what I just know that you should. So I tell people things all the time that I don't necessarily follow completely myself. Like, just like I
Don't admit
know that you're
that.
supposed to. Yeah, for sure. But it just was like, couldn't get into the kind of groove of doing it. And then a few years ago, I did like a bout of it. And I think I did too much. Maybe I would do like 45 minutes every other day, of like the strength training, and that felt like too much. And then I was like, I don't want to, like, I'm not looking to gain a lot of muscle. I'm looking to kind of build a little bit and then maintain. So then I kind of got back out of it. And then more recently, when I started, it was honestly because I kind of started exercising every single day, doing something every single day. I didn't feel great when I didn't do anything. So I was like, I don't feel like I need to necessarily take a full rest day. I can just kind of alter what I do. So even if some days it's, just a lot of walking, I count that. But to exercise every day and do these intense cardio stuff, you burn out, and or it's not good. Like, you don't want to do the same things every single day. So it was more of a way to just mix things up, and not do it as much at one time. So I generally will do 20 minutes every other day of dedicated like weights. And that has worked really well. And for some people, that would be like 20 minutes is nothing, but 20 minutes definitely, I think I feel it and I can tell. So I use it as a way to kind of not get bored with the day-to-day cardio and to mix things up and that sort of thing. And I can definitely feel, I definitely feel stronger from doing it.
Yeah, and I think your journey is very similar to a lot of people's who are doing some lifting. It's not the central, part of their exercise routine, but it's become a part. Your comment around you're not looking to bulk up. I think a lot of women in particular kind of shun strength training out of a fear of bulking
Exactly.
up.
You don't want like those huge, and then, but knowing now that what it takes to put on a substantial amount of muscle is a lot of weight training and a lot of protein, a lot of, like, my there's probably not a whole lot I could do to turn myself into someone who was like super bulky and within my realm of where I live, you know, like I would have to dramatically change my day-to-day lifestyle in order to quote unquote bulk up. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, you got to be eating a ton of protein. You have to be certainly never in like a calorie deficit, and you need to be lifting heavy and a lot. So yeah.
And we'll talk about it a little bit when we get to the end and talk about some routines, but you'd also have to be consistently progressively loading.
So
lifting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier weights, in
right.
addition to consuming all that protein and spending a lot of time in that mode. So the message to females who, you know, kind of are avoiding weightlifting out of that fear of bulking is, it's, you know, don't worry about that. Unless you're going to an extreme, for sure. And I think you're exactly right too, that that mixing in strength training with your cardio is a way to not get burned out on just the pure cardio.
Right. It. Yep.
I think that's an important piece. So let's talk about this study that, you know, it's interesting. It was, well, you kind of lead us through I'll start it off. Sorry. So the objective of it, and then you can talk about the specifics of it. So the objective was investigating what's called the dose response association of aerobic physical activity and muscle strengthening exercise with all-cause mortality. So two things we want to define there. Dose response or the dose response association is, okay, for how much of X, variable X, affects the outcome, essentially, of variable Y. So in this case, you know, how much strength training might affect all-cause mortality, not just does strength training affect it, yes or no?
Which makes it more of a applicable study, because we know that strength training is beneficial. There's nothing, you can't come up with a way that you could say the opposite. But is my 20 minutes every other day enough, or is that not even close to cutting it, kind of thing? And then for aerobic and anaerobic, just if people don't know, aerobic is essentially like sustained elevations of heart rate and oxygen usage. So it's your general like cardio without doing super, super high intensity. Once you're doing really high intensity, you get into anaerobic, and those are the short bursts of energy. And that's more along the lines of strength training and HIIT workouts. And I guess it depends. I don't know. How often do you think you're in an anaerobic state when you're doing weight training? You have to be doing some pretty heavy.
Pretty heavy, but I think it's. But I also think that's. It's. You know, it's not just, are you kind of out of breath, so to speak. It's a type of exercise that you're doing that puts you in that anaerobic state.
Yeah, when you feel your muscles burning, you're kind of like depleting the lactic acid, or you're starting to use lactic acid. So you've used up all of your kind of immediately usable energy for the muscles. So when you start to feel the burn, that's usually more of like the lactic acid
build up. Yep. What was the method?
This was a survey. So again, these kind of things are always a little hard because there's only so many ways you can go about the data. So there's some biases, but it's a survey from 1997 to 2014. So a really long span of time, linked to the National Death Index through 2015. So it produced a total of 416,000 US adults. And then they used, you know, certain statistical analysis and a model to kind of simulate what they were looking for to estimate heart rates or the confidence intervals that, because if you think about this, like, how could they possibly have gotten this information based on survey data from looking at death information? But there's a lot of fancy ways that they do that we don't need to talk about. So they looked at moderate aerobic physical exercise, vigorous aerobic exercise, and then muscle strength exercise and with associated mortality risk. And they controlled as much as they could. So they controlled to make sure that their findings weren't actually related to the people's age, their gender, their race, income, education, marital status, the year of the survey, because you know, there could be fluctuations in trends year to year, smoking status, body mass index, and chronic conditions. So they controlled for a lot because, you know, it may be that the, you could say quickly, well, people who exercise are probably the ones who are also not smoking. And that's probably where it came from. But they controlled for those, all those kind of things.
Yeah. So we always talk about, you know, kind of, you want to take a close eye at the structure of the study to kind of judge whether you can, you know, the conclusions that come out of it are can be, you know, assumed to be valid or what have you. Would you say this, you know, methodology is pretty good? I mean, it's not a double blind random controlled experiment, let's say.
Right.
But it's maybe the next, not, I don't know, if it's the next best thing, but it certainly involves a lot of people.
Yeah.
416,000.
That's a big thing to look for, is how many people were in the study.
And over a large number of years, because whenever you're looking at mortality, you've got to go, you know,
right,
say, you know, 10 years plus,
right,
in order to get anything. So let's look at the results. So relative to the group that engaged in no aerobic physical exercise, there was a substantial mortality risk reduction associated with an hour per week of aerobic.
That's crazy.
It leveled off at 3 hours. So their read was 1 hour was kind of the minimum effective dose, let's say, and pretty substantial. But after 3 hours, you at least you didn't, you know, affected a bunch of other things, you know, happiness or whatever. It was also interesting. Hours, oh, go ahead.
3 hours was like your peak, where you
peaked after that. It's interesting that, you know, there was
between men and women.
And it didn't matter the age, you know, younger or older, and the if you are, yeah, more to the point of what we're talking about today, that if you added in the strength training or the anaerobic part of it, then you got additional risk reduction at even one time per week.
Yep.
Right.
That
risk reduction was kind of not necessarily huge, but it was pretty good. It was somewhere between 10% and 20%, let's say.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Which
is pretty good. But once you got to seven times a week, it kind of petered out. So. You know,
you can't get once more than seven times a week.
Well, yeah, I know that.
I mean, I guess you can if you go multiple times in a day. I guess just think of it as sessions. So somewhere between one and seven sessions a week.
Yeah, we'll call it. But so for your every other day kind of routine, you're getting 3 to 4 sessions a week, which would seem to be maybe the sweet spot, even.
Yeah.
So if your objective is to lower your risk of death, which is a pretty good objective for folks to have.
I mean, ultimately, that's everyone's objective and to some degree. And then there also, you know, there may be other reasons why you exercise, but that's definitely part of why everyone exercises, because it's good for their health.
Yep, their overall longevity and health span, as we've talked about. And it's really good kind of guidepost, because I think for folks, both on the aerobic, you know, cardio stuff and the weightlifting stuff, is, okay, try to get that cardio somewhere between 1 and 3 hours per week and get at least one time per week of weightlifting. And if you can do more, that's going to be better. Don't overdo it.
Right. So, and it's interesting too, it's kind of helps because I have so many people who are all or nothing people, and they go in spurts of exercise because they're going to the gym for at least an hour, you know, 5 days a week, or they're doing nothing. And if they only have time for 20 minutes, they're not going to do anything. And try to break that mindset, because really it's like any amount that you're doing is going to be beneficial. And this is data to show you that you can start seeing risk reduction of just an hour of cardio a week. And really you don't get as much benefit when, you know, it's not a, you know, log increase in benefit after 3 hours. That just tells you that you can do 2 or 3 times a week and still see a lot of benefit. And then with the strength training, kind of the flip side for people who are struggling to get into strength training or feeling like they need to do so much weightlifting, really doesn't take that much.
Right, right. And it is, I think, such it makes it so unenjoyable, so black and white perspective on it.
Right.
And that you've got to kind of leave everything on the gym floor.
Yeah, or it's not worth it.
Or it's not, or it's nothing. And granted, I think there's a small slice of the population that is just super driven.
Yeah.
That thrives off of that personal challenge of leaving it all on the tables, so to speak. But that is definitely the minority.
Yeah, agree.
In terms of this. So in terms of someone looking to start strength training or to get into that regular routine. So we talk about how many sessions per week, how long per session. I think we'd say at least 2 times a week, you know, even though the study says 1 time a week will give you a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to, you know, want to work different parts of your body. So if you do it twice a week, you can kind of mix it up that way.
Right.
I would say optimally 3 or 4, kind of what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And for at least 30 minutes per session. Now your sessions are 20 minutes, which is fine. But if you had more time, I'd say add another 10 minutes.
Right.
Preferably add. You go longer.
Yeah.
And if you've got the time, it would be great to do, you know, somewhere in the 45 minute range for kind of the same amount of time you
did. Did this study say anything about time?
No, it really didn't. It was more focused on that, you know, for the sessions and not the time. Whereas for the cardio, they measured it in terms of time. So I'd have to dig into that study a little bit more.
Yeah.
Take time. And lifting weights for at least 30 minutes, let's say.
Right.
Per time.
Yeah.
Per time. So yeah. What are the other, what's another good suggestion in terms of putting together a routine?
I mean, what I usually tell people is to find something that you like, because if you don't enjoy what you're doing, then you're not going to do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to like do it for a little while and get totally burnt out by it. So it doesn't have to be the gym, but it can be if that's your thing. Some people are like, I have to go to the gym, and other people are like, I can't ever go to the gym. So like when we talk about this, doesn't have to be, you don't have to go buy weights even. Like you can do body strength stuff. Right. There's YouTube, there's so many other ways to do it. So figure out what you're not going to dread and what you might actually look forward to doing, because then you're more likely to do it. And if you like the equipment, great. If you don't like equipment, there's plenty of bodyweight stuff out there to do.
Also, if you like a directed workout, there's tons of video stuff, you know, like Peloton has their thing, but there's other ones. I forget what that, there's another one that's free.
Yeah. that you can just follow along.
Exactly. Or just class. Go to YouTube or what have you. Or if you don't like that sort of thing, you know, obviously do it on your own. Like you said, do it at the gym or at home. I'd say make sure you include all major muscle groups. Is an important suggestion. So think of it from, you know, legs, core, arms, shoulders, chest, you know, that sort of thing. And don't skip leg day. That's everyone hates leg.
Really?
Well, you know, when I used to lift more, that was the thing that left you sore the next day, was like if you were doing squats or deadlifts or what have you. So if we talk about, you know, let's go through to an example of, let's say you just had 2 days a week, you're going to do it from home, you had no equipment. What might that look like? So my suggestion would be you do the same kind of workout both days. Mm-hmm. And you break it up into what are called supersets. And a superset is a set of exercises that you do and one after the other. And then you can repeat that. So I would say, you know, so you'd structure it as superset A and superset B, let's call them. Mm-hmm. Superset A might be body weight squats. So just going up and down. You can even kind of put a chair behind you, like you're getting in and out of a chair, or you can just go to the, you know, squat as deep as you can. Mm-hmm. So that'd be one, body weight squats. So that's obviously getting your legs a good workout, and some core push-ups. So that's arms, shoulders, chest, and core. Push-ups are great. And then bicycles, you know, you just lay on your back and then you kind of pretend you're riding a bike. So you put your legs up in the air. Great core workout, good for your hips. So that's three exercises, superset A, and you could just cycle through those, you know, depending upon how many times you, how much time you had. And then superset B would be lunges, and you can, you know, even if you had a small amount of space, you can do a lunge or you can do a reverse lunge and not even kind of have to move across the room. And again, this is all body weight. Then you can do for your arms what I call a reverse push-up. So have you ever done these? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So you have a bench or some low object, a chair even. You need to be careful it's stable. And you're putting your hands behind you on that chair supporting you. And then your legs can either be elevated or on the floor. Your feet can be on the floor. You're straight. You're just kind of, it's a tricep workout. And you're just doing essentially going up and down using your triceps. Yeah. With any of these, if you need kind of a picture, illustration, or video, go to YouTube. So that's a reverse push-up and then curls. Now, curls, you can't really do body weight curls because your hands don't weigh enough.
if you think about it.
So you need something in your hands. But if you look around your house, you know, even a couple of 28-ounce cans of, you know, vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Could, you know, with enough repetitions. And I would say, you know, pick up a chair and put it down, mm-hmm. or invest in just a couple of dumbbells is a pretty easy solution as well.
You don't have to get the full.
Yep. And you just cycle through A, B. Or you could go four A's and four B's, you know, however you want to mix it up. If you are into going to the gym or willing to go to a gym and willing to do spend more time, then, you know, I think that the go-to for that type of a
times a week, go to the gym,
have a workout one and a workout two with two supersets within each of those workouts. And workout one, you're focusing on, let's say, legs and arms, and workout two, you're focusing on chest, core, and shoulders. So you're never working out the same body parts 2 days in a row, because you want to give your body some rest, and that's the way your muscles regenerate and grow. And it keeps a lot of variety in that mix. So
right. Yep.
And the other thing I would say for someone who's, you know, interested in embarking on this is, I know one of the things that really helped me, I was never a weightlifter. And I was, you know, actually in kind of, you walk into a gym, it's, and you haven't been a weightlifter, it's kind of intimidating, actually.
Right.
Definitely what helped me was getting a trainer to kind of take me through the basics and set some baselines on proper form, number one.
Yeah. Yep.
So you don't get injured, and how much weight is appropriate given, you know, where I'm at. So
right. Yeah, they usually offer like a training session or two, and even if that's all you do, because if you're doing stuff incorrectly, not only can you get injured, but you're not going to get the benefits of it. So I think that's really important, is make sure you are doing things the right way. Don't just go there blind and start lifting things and pushing right. things, pulling things.
Right. That exactly right. And there's particularly nowadays, since the pandemic, tons of online trainer availability mm-hmm. that either work with you one-on-one or in groups. So plenty of resources. So hopefully we've inspired some people to pick up some weights, and also maybe, you know, debunked a couple of the assumptions that keep people from embarking on a strength yep. training routine, because it is so good for you. And it not only, obviously, as the study indicated, reduce your risk of dying, but it just makes you feel better. And for me, in a way that cardio doesn't.
That's interesting.
You know, it's just, you know, and I'm not by any means strong, but I think it feels good to have some level of strength.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Anything else before we sign off?
I don't think so. I think that covers it.
Okay. Well, we've got to make a commitment between the both of us. We haven't done, this is the first one we've done in a month. So we got to make a commitment that the next one, we won't take a whole full month.
Was it really a month?
Yeah. I think it was like, you know, early to mid August we did the last one. So wow. I know time flies. I was going to say we're busy, but it's mostly you.
Yeah.
So, okay. We'll figure out what we can do for a follow-up, and hopefully sooner than a month. So.
All right.
Okay. Get back to your busy life, girl.
You too.
Okay. Love you. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks again for listening. You can visit thedoctorandad.com, that's spelled thedrandad.com, for show notes to any of our podcasts, as well as other useful info on extending health span. Now the legal disclaimer. This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. And no doctor-patient relationship is formed. Use of this information and show notes is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should not disregard or delay taking medical advice or treatment for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their medical professional for any such conditions. We also want you to know that we take no funding from any product or service that may be mentioned on the Doctor and Dad podcast.